ओकम करोति वाचालम् पंगुम लंघयते गिरि यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं. सो हियर वी आर डिस्कसिंग अ नाइस टॉपिक वेर वन फादर हुज नेम इज प्राचीन बरही, ही हैज गिवन ऑर्डर टू द सन्स, 10 ऑफ देम, टू गेट मैरिड. एंड एज सून एज दे हियर दे हैव टू गेट मैरिड, दे लीव द हाउस फॉर डूइंग ऑस्टेरिटीज. It's a very nice thing. First time when I read this couple of years back, it was really nice. Because entering Grihastha Ashram is not a joke. A lot of qualification is needed. And the ones who cannot can be in Brahmacharya Ashram, can do austerity here lifelong. But then once you want to get married, yes, it is expected that they have to do austerities before marriage, get qualified, because they are going to lead some souls in the house, and they are expected to deliver the souls whom they have accepted as their subordinate. And here, after the description of Vidura is asking that why did Prachetas meet Lord Shiva, and Vidura. Yeah, and various other questions which Vidura has asked, which we discussed in last few sessions. Now, Maitreya Muni, he starts answering. And here, he starts with glorifying the Prachetas. He says that because of their pious nature, Sadhu, all the sons of Prachina Barhi very seriously accepted the words of their father with heart and soul. And with these words on their heads, they went towards the west to execute their father's order. And here Prabhupada, very nicely, he is mentioning in the purport that he is saying, one should, where is the point, that one should take the instructions of superiors like father, spiritual master, and who else is there, king, as life and soul, and execute the same. But then, you know, Prabhupada is very clear, who is a father, who is a king, and who is a spiritual master. So he gives the definition also very beautifully here. So he's saying that the father, king, and spiritual master are supposed to be the representatives of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such they have to be respected as Supreme Lord. And what is their qualification? What is their duty? It is the duty of the father, the spiritual master, and the king to regulate their subordinates in such a way that they ultimately become fully unalloyed devotees of Supreme Lord. So this point is a very important point. So it's not that every father and every king and every spiritual master deserves or is qualified, you know, to get respect from all around. Yes, obviously. One has to respect these personalities because they are elderly, elder by age. But then, when it comes to this particular verse and the purport that Prabhupada is giving, so we are talking about the spiritual qualification. So one has to be spiritually qualified to receive that respect from one's subordinate. And in one of the shloka from Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 18th verse, it says, Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, svajani, janani na sasyat, daivam na tatsyan, na patischa sasyat, na mochayed, yaha samupaityam rutyam. So this verse is a very strong verse. It says, that guru is not a guru. Guru na sasyat. Those relatives are not relatives. Svajano na sasyat. That father is not a father. Pita na sasyat. That mother is not a mother. Janani na sasyat. That those Devi Devtas are not Devi Devtas, Daivam na tatsyan, and that Pati, that husband is not a husband, Patischa sasyan, then what is the qualification of these personalities? If they have to take those designations, those positions, if they are not able to, na mochayed, if they are not able to deliver, ya samupaityam rutyum, from the cycle of birth and death. Only if they are able to deliver their subordinates from the cycle of birth and death, then they can be called as guru, then relatives, father, then mother, Devi Devatas and husband. So in this way, we see these are the six personalities. If they want to take these designations, then yes, they have to be qualified. And what is the qualification? They should deliver their subordinates from the cycle of birth and death. And that's what Prabhupada is saying. How can someone be delivered from the cycle of birth and death? Only by one way. That is by becoming unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is mentioning here that it is the duty of the father, the spiritual master and the king to regulate their subordinates in such a way that they ultimately become fully unalloyed devotees of Supreme Lord. So when this happens, then yes, no, they are called as sadhu and the subordinates are also called as sadhu. Now here again, Prabhupada is talking about who is a sadhu. So we know a very nice shloka from Bhagavatam. Tatikshava karunika surudam sarvadehina ajatashatrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushana. So who is a sadhu? Who wears lot of ornaments? He is a sadhu. And what are the ornaments? So here the description says Titikshava, the one who is tolerant. Titikshava. Karunika, who is very compassionate. Then Surud, who is a well-wisher. Surudam, sarvadehina, not just one or two personalities well-wisher. Like Prabhupada would sign in his letters, your eternal well-wisher. Something like that. Well-wisher of everyone, of all the embodied souls. Surudam, sarvadehina. Ajata shatrava, once whose enemy is never born. Basically it means, you know, who does not have any enemy. Ajata shatrava, shanta. Very, very peaceful. Such a personality who wears all these ornaments is called as sadhu. And here Prabhupada, one line in this purport, he says that a perfect sadhu is the one who is always engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So 24/7, a personality who is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, he is called a sadhu. He is qualified to get this title sadhu. In fact, sadhu word is used in multiple places. Sadhu word is used to glorify others also. So here Prabhupada has written in the brackets, meaning pious or well-behaved. And sometimes when someone does something good in devotee circle, they glorify him saying, sadhu, sadhu. When the cowherd boys, the Gopas and Krishna, they would go for herding the cows in Vrindavan, the forest. So they will have competition. And sometimes when they are tired of competition, they would come together and they would start singing and things like that. So now when the Gopas would sing, so at that time Krishna, and when Krishna would sing, all the Gopas and Balram and others, they would all play the instruments and they'll start dancing. And when Krishna would complete singing, all the Gopas and Balram and all others, they would start calling out loudly, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And similarly, when the Gopas would complete their singing, at that time Krishna would say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the sadhu word is very much used in the sadhu circles. And the master of sadhus in their circles to glorify. And when it comes to the relationship between a sadhu and Krishna, it's very, very intimate relationship. One of my favorite shloka from the pastime of Amrish Maharaj, when Durvasa Muni goes to Narayan, Lord Narayan did, asking that please save me from the wrath of Sudarshan. Sudarshan is behind me, please save me. So at that time, Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's saying that Aham Bhakta Paradhino Ya Svatantra Eva Dvija Sadhu Bhir Grasta Rudayo Bhaktir Bhakta Janapriya. So there the Lord is saying that Aham Bhakta Paradhino, I'm subordinate to my devotees. Ya Svatantra Eva Dvija, I don't have any independence. And then he continues saying, why? Because sadhu bir grastha hridayo. These sadhus who look very, very nice and innocent and peaceful, shanta. These are not like that. They are very, very clever. Sadhu bir grastha hridayo. They have captured my heart. Or this line can also be interpreted as they have captured my heart or I have captured their heart. Sadhu bir grastha hridayo. Bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. Not just these sadhus, not just these pure devotees. So sadhu word is translated by Prabhupada as pure devotee. So not just these pure devotees, even their subordinates, the devotees of my devotees also conquer me. This is what the Lord is telling. And this is a fact that Lord is captured by his devotees. Very, very intimate relationship which Lord has with his devotees. In fact, he goes on to say in the next verse, he says, Sadhavo hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tvaham mat anyatena jananti naham tebhyo managapi. So in this verse, the Lord is saying that sadhunam sadhavo hridayam mayam. So sadhavo hridayam mayam, these sadhus are there in my hand, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, and I am there in the hearts of the sadhus. Mat anyatena jananti, all these sadhus, they are so unalloyed devotees of mine, they don't know anything apart from me. This is a very, very high level qualification. Very, very high level. Matlab, not knowing anything apart from Krishna, or Krishna being the only goal, Krishna being the only object of worship in their life. That's a very, very high level. And then the next line says, this is very nice. Na tebhyo managapi. Na aham tebhyo managapi. And when it comes to me, I don't know anyone but my devotees. So when it comes to the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. Now when he wanted to go to Vrindavan, when he would go to take permission from, please allow me, I want to go to Vrindavan. Again to the devotees, and he would ask, Rath Yatra is over, can you please allow me now? And the devotees, you know, very, very clever, they would say, yeah, Rath Yatra is over, but now Janmashtami, Radha Ashtami are there. So, you know, please wait. No, what to say? He became so that, you know, he's not allowed to go to Vrindavan. The Supreme giving priority, said, please allow me to go. Enough is enough. And the devotees, they said, okay, no, you are independent. No, how can we stop you? Please go. So like this, Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, who is not different than Sri Radha and Krishna, take that subordinate position, you know, to his devotees, and he would behave the way the devotees will ask him to behave, or the way the devotees will direct him to behave. And this is one such pastime. Another pastime again in Chaitanya Leela, to see Sachi Mata and to talk to them and convey the message of Sri Chaitanya. And what Jagadananda did at that time was, Jagadananda, and he want me to massage your body with this oil, this fragrant oil. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, body with this fragrant oil, what would people say? What sort of sannyasi I am? So no, I don't accept this. Maybe you can tell Jagadananda to use this oil in the lamp of Jagannath, in Jagannath Puri, not bend even to the instruction of the Lord. So after 10 days, again, he told Govinda, you know, your own hands, he has pressed fragrant oil for you, O Lord. And he wants me to massage your body with this oil. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya, again, he became extremely angry. And he said, why don't you all understand? I'm a sannyasi. How can I accept this fragrant oil? Please ask him to give this oil in Jagannath temple and let this oil be used in service of Jagannath. He is the right personality who can receive this offering. And then Govinda, he went and told Jagadananda. Now Jagadananda became so angry. He came inside and he told Chaitanya, who told you that I have got this oil for you? He took the pot, he went outside, he threw the pot down on the floor, breaking it to pieces. All the oil is down now, all wasted. And he ran to his home, to his place, and he locked himself from inside. Now Chaitanya was seeing, what's wrong with him? What happened? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew very well how angry this personality is. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very fearful now. 3 days, Jagadananda didn't open the door. He was fasting. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the third day he went, he Jagadananda. Now when devotees are clever, Lord is even more clever. Devotees are clever because Krishna Bhakta, right? There, Krishna Bhakta, Bada Chatur. But then there, Krishna Bhakta, then how about Krishna? Yeah, he used this trick. He said, so I'm very hungry and I want to eat the foodstuffs made from your hand. So I'm going to the temple now. So before I return, please make sure that the prasad is ready. And as soon as Jagadananda heard this, whatever he was doing inside, no one knows what he was doing inside. He just got up from there, he opened the door, and he went, took bath, went to the kitchen and started. He was the Lord, and the Lord came and he started keeping everything very nicely, all the foodstuffs. A lot of preparations were made. And when Lord came, he requested the Lord that please come and sit. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, no, first you sit. Once you eat, then I'll eat. Then Jagadananda is like, how can I eat before you? No, you sit, I promise I'll eat. You don't worry that, I'll not eat, I'll fast. No, I'll not do that. And then after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and Jagadananda, he served Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya also sat and he started eating. Now Jagadananda, when he started serving, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting, he accepted your offering. And then Jagadananda, he heard all this, still he was angry. And he was serving Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya. So he finished, Lord Chaitanya finished the plate, again he served. Jagadananda was giving, he was accepting. And finally, when Jagadananda ate 10 times more than what I eat every day. And at that time, Jagadananda felt, now Lord is satisfied. Now Lord is satisfied. And then now Lord said, okay, now you have. Now you stay back and make sure this personality eats. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And then Jagadananda told Govinda that you go and massage him. Obviously, now he didn't say with the oil. He said, go and massage him. He's going to take rest. And Govinda went and Lord Chaitanya asked, did he eat? And Govinda is like, no, I just came to massage you. And after that, I'll go and check. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, go immediately and check. And then when Jagadananda was having prasad, Govinda went and told Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, that yes, he had prasadam. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very peaceful. Then at that time he took rest. Look at the reciprocation in this entire pastime. A devotee is getting angry on the Lord and Lord is going down on his knees to beg forgiveness. It's almost like that. Almost like that. And Lord is so concerned that again my devotee will fast. This is what is the relationship of the Lord and his devotees. A devotee does not know anything but the pleasure of the Lord. Jagadananda was becoming angry, thinking, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why can't you apply this oil? What is your problem? And, Lord here, when Jagadananda was fasting, at that time, Lord is in a different mood altogether, saying that my devotee is fasting. My devotee is fasting. He's so concerned. So this is what is the meaning of Lord does not know anything but his devotees. And devotees don't know anything but the Lord. And both of them, they reside in each other's heart. So in this way, we understand the intimate relationship between a sadhu and the Lord. In fact, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gives so much importance to his devotees, so much importance, that he's telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, apichet suduracharo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhur eva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hi saha. So Lord is telling that apichet suduracharo, apichet, suppose by mistakely, suduracharo, if my devotees get into some act which is abominable, still bhajate mam ananya bhak, if they are worshipping me with one pointed devotion, sadhur eva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hi saha, still that devotee should be considered as a sadhu, should be considered as a devotee. Look at what Lord is saying, that even if my devotee falls down, it's okay, still he should be considered as a devotee. And this is very, very clear in his dealings also when it comes to his devotees. Lord does not give up his devotees even when they do the most abominable thing, the most abominable thing. Yeah, obviously, to set an example, sometimes he does that. But then, in general, he never gives up his devotees. In Krishna Leela, when Lord Krishna ordered Vasudev that you take me to Gokul. So as all of us know, Vasudev picked up Lord Krishna and started walking towards the gates. Firstly, when he picked up Krishna, all the shackles which were there on the hands and legs and on the neck all broke, or opened, I should say, opened. And then all the gates started opening. And here our Acharya's comment that, oh, what is so big when it comes to, or what is so surprising and wonderful when it comes to these iron shackles opening and the iron gates opening? When a devotee holds Krishna in the heart, the doors of Goloka Vrindavan open, and the cycle of birth and death, the shackle in which he is stuck, that breaks. You know, what is big thing in this? So at this juncture, we understand, yes, all the doors are opening, and it's almost like the doors of Goloka Vrindavan opening and things like that. But now the question is, when Vasudeva went to Gokul and he exchanged the child which he had with the child which was there on the lap or besides Mother Yashoda, that is Yoga Maya Shakti or Durga, when he got back Maya, still the doors were open. Still the doors were open. So here Acharyas are asking question that how come the doors are open even now? And they themselves answer. That's what is the glory of our Acharyas. They question, they answer. Yes. So they are answering that even if by mistake or due to death, he's under the three modes of material nature, it's very difficult, you know, for a devotee to say that I'll remain on the path of bhakti forever. So always there'll be ups and downs. A devotee might fall because of the influence of Maya Shakti. She is very strong, very, very strong. So here the Acharya's comment saying that even if by the influence of the three modes of material nature, if some devotee throws Krishna and picks up Maya, still by the mercy of the Lord, the doors of Goloka Vrindavan will be open for him forever. Lord will never give up that person. Yes. And this is a very nice thing. In fact, Shri Guru Maharaj, you know, he says repeatedly that agar Thakur ji ne ek bar haath thama hai, iska matlab wo kabhi chhodenge nahi. To kis baat ki chinta? Kis baat ki chinta? So when it comes to Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gives a lot of importance, you know, to all his devotees. Anyone who starts practicing bhakti once, Krishna will make sure that in some lifetime, that devotee goes back home, back to Godhead. He personally comes to take that devotee, or he'll send his associates, or he'll send the associates of associates, or associates of associates of associates, and he'll make sure that he'll get that devotee on track and he'll take him back to Godhead. He is a sadhu. So when we hear this word sadhu, you know, we need to understand that how much the Lord gives importance, you know, to his devotees, and how much the devotees are worshipping the Lord with one-pointed focus. And when we understand the relationship between the sadhu and the Lord, we will have a desire that, yes, even I want to become a sadhu. And when we get that desire, by the mercy of Sri Gauranga, we will become a sadhu one day. I mean a pure devotee, perfected pure devotee one day. And fulfill the desire. Or why? Because they are following the instruction of their father, Prachina Barhi. And who is this Prachina Barhi? He is another great devotee. So when we follow the instruction of a great devotee, automatically, no, we become a sadhu. Because when it comes to us as devotees, what do we have in our life? What is the treasure that we have in our life? The treasure is the instruction coming from the pure devotee. That is the treasure. And that's what is very beautifully told here by Prabhupada. He's saying that the word Shirasa on their head is also significant. For Prachetas accepted the orders of their father and carried them on their heads. Basically, which means they accepted them in complete surrender. When the instruction gives an instruction and the disciple takes as life and soul. In fact, sometimes people ask, what if I'm not able to execute the instruction of my spiritual master? I don't remember the place where I read this in Bhagavatam itself. It is said that even if someone meditates on the instruction of the spiritual master, that is so glorious. What to talk about executing. So if someone can meditate on the instruction, thinking when I'll get that qualification to execute this instruction, and if he starts lamenting and craving for the same, that why I'm not able to do it, spiritual master and Lord both will be pleased. Because what these personalities expect is the bhava, then the actual thing to be done. And if obviously, now they are the ones who will empower that devotee, empower that disciple. Without their empowerment, who can do what in this material world? When he meditates on the instruction of Gauranga for your pleasure, when this mode is there, as Chetas had, for sure the empowerment will come from the Lord through the Guru Parampara, through the spiritual master. And once that happens, yes, then we can also do what Prachetas did. The thing that is very, very difficult to imagine also. What they did? Next sloka talks about that. Next few shlokas talks about that, yes. They submerged themselves in the ocean for 10,000 years. For 10,000 years. And they did tapasya. Only just so that they can follow the instruction of their father. So we'll see that in the next few shlokas. So I pause here. Other devotees will elaborate on the same. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.